morning, Cross Point Life. My name is Pastor Barry Sappington. If you didn't know that already, we welcome you today to the special celebration of our love for Jesus. It's not just one Sunday. It's not just one day. We do this and should be doing this every single day. But I tell you, there's something really special about even the moment today in worship. Even as I'm sharing this right now, I feel the weight, what they call the kabod of God, the glory of the Lord that's in this place, which means to me that's probably not just a physical building, but that what happened this morning in worship as the team led us is it transcends a building and moves right through in the supernatural into your living room, into an airport, Dr. Charlie, into a place wherever you may be, a car, you may be wherever you are. The presence and power of Holy Spirit can move on you. And I feel like he's doing that right now. If all you had left in this world was your hallelujah, I will praise the Lord, I will bless the Lord, I love you, Jesus. If that's all you had left, that's enough for us as sons and daughters of God. I encourage you the next few minutes to continue to press into and believe God for your miracle, for your encouragement, for this almost a realignment. I've heard the word pivot an awful lot the last 6, 7, 8 months. Whatever we need to do today, in this moment, in this hour, to make course corrections, I pray Holy Spirit will give you the courage to do just that today. Thank you, Father. So good. So good. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Let's jump in today to the message. We're continuing a sermon series on a very COVID Christmas at Cross Point, and we're glad you've tuned in. I'm going to talk today on a topic that, quite honestly, wasn't challenging, but it was challenging. I think you'll know what I mean in just a moment. Where is my family at? Where is my family? Where's my family? Where's my family at? Where are they? Could be the question. You know, we're living in uncertain times. Every one of us know that. This is not a new statement. It's a fact. We're living in very precarious times. And I will say that because of those precarious times, it's important for us to know where our family is. Now, let me clarify that I'm not referencing this morning simply blood family. But although it applies, but spiritual family as well. I would like to reference family here this morning in a more generalized way than really a specific way, although at the conclusion, I think you'll see that it actually does kind of dovetail into a very clear and precise definition. But for the sake of clarity and for the sake of launching the message today, I want to say it this way. I'd like to reference family today as the place where love and acceptance can be found. Trust and not betrayal. Favor over judgment. Forgiveness over control. A place of safety and refuge. And with that in mind, as our backdrop, let's delve into this topic. Where's my family? 2020 most definitely exposed some cracks in the armor as how families are handling multiple challenges simultaneously. Great fear of the unknown, financial challenges, family disagreements over things like racial tensions, COVID regulations, and of course, right now the biggie is that of politics. I've been a little surprised, to be quite honest, by how passionate some of you and others have been on both sides of the political spectrum. I don't know why it surprised me, but it just did a little bit. And sadly, it has caused division in some families over what candidate they believe should occupy the White House. You know, a healthy discourse over and about politics shouldn't necessarily be an issue in a household. Nevertheless, this year has been divisive, to say the least. There have been other things that have brought disappointment and challenge to the family today. I'm talking more specific right now about blood family, those related to us. Things like this, a few bullet points of other things that have brought challenge. I've heard this from a number of people. There's been a lot of death this year. I don't know if we've just become more aware of death or more because of COVID. I don't know. But for example, there's been a number of people that I know that have had someone die in their family. And as a result of the death, they could not spend time either in the hospital prior to their dying or prior to their death because of COVID. And it's brought heartache to them because they could not say farewell to a loved one. There's been challenges when it comes to family weddings. Because of the COVID restrictions, some have had to postpone weddings even to next year, 2021, because of venues not being available. My own niece that lives in Northern California was scheduled to have her wedding this past year, I think it was the month of May or June, and because of the COVID restrictions, the venue that they had scheduled canceled on them and said, we're not hosting weddings at this time. So they pivoted. I had the opportunity to fly to Northern California and perform a backyard wedding with only immediate family. But there was some disappointment in the family because they could not have it in a larger venue with more people and more friends and family together. Families are being shaken in so many ways. How about this one? With the Gen Z and millennial generations, they are voicing their thoughts and opinions at the chagrin of some parents. They're not liking what they're hearing. They're Gen Zers and they're millennials saying and speaking up about what was once an assumption in many families across the nation as it relates to white, middle-class, Republican views have caused deep divide in some American homes. Right and wrong are being challenged in certain circles of culture. Things that were once clearly defined are not as clear as they once were. Where's my family? In a recent Brookings Institute study related specific to 2020, but also like the last 4, 5, 6 years, they have indicated that not across all sectors of the family unit are they struggling or being divided over the issues of today. Some reports actually indicated that it was a positive thing in some, depending on where they lived, in some pockets of the population across the nation, there was actually some really healthy things taking place because of COVID. But in certain other places, depending on the family construct, as well as financial positions, ethnicity, and even geographically where families reside, there has been some very difficult things transpire in the family as a whole. No matter what reports may be available to us, it still begs the question, where's my family? I mentioned a moment ago that we're not just dealing with defining family simply through blood relations, but spiritual as well, what we would call the church or a congregation, generally speaking, not just Cross Point, but across the nation and the world, we call it the church, the spiritual family, the ecclesia. Let's look at the challenge of the family as it relates to that. In recent reports from Kerry Newhoff, the rate of suicide and mental illness struggles inside the walls of the church is increasing at an alarming rate. Not only are the members of the congregation struggling with those things, but the leadership of churches as well. Sadly, I read a report that said the suicide rate of pastors has increased since COVID hit. More clergy are leaving the ministry at a higher rate than previously. And church leaders are struggling to know necessarily what best practices are for their congregations. Let me add just a few more bullet points to that. See, none of us know where what the church family is going to look like or where it's going to land now or even post-COVID. We just don't really have an idea. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of individuals that are positioning themselves to share with you their belief statistically of what the church may look like. But truly, as we're very well aware of, we never know what tomorrow is going to hold. None of us knew that COVID was going to hit. Bible teaches us to not worry about what tomorrow holds because today has enough issues of its own. We know not what tomorrow holds or what next week holds or what next month holds. And so we don't know what the church is necessarily going to look like. But there are some things that we need to be aware of as it relates to where's my family in the message this morning. Because it seems like right now in 2020, people are leaving their church families for many various reasons because of things that normally wouldn't have brought division or flight, but now are. Some of those things are like this. Nobody's called me. Or how about, and we're very well aware that many of you right now are bouncing back and forth between 3, 4, 5 church services. Now, I've heard this indirectly, but I've heard this comment. I like the preaching of that particular church now more than my own church. Well, that's quite possible. I mean, after today, you may be like really searching for another message. I don't know, another preacher. But here's the fact. That's going on. We know it. It's a part of the culture of the church right now is that people are bouncing around from church to church, kind of like a smorgasbord, finding what they like here and there. And you know what? I got to tell you, there's probably nothing truly wrong with that. But it could become a problem if you become a silo unto yourself. And instead of making a commitment in the future to either remaining or being a part of a congregation, you will find yourself in a very shallow, shallow place because we need one another to move forward in our faith. How about this one? I'm disappointed that my church hasn't done more during COVID, like outdoor services. Or why isn't my church doing what that church is doing over there? Why don't we have a big tent? Why aren't we doing, and there's a number of things that can continue to be listed. Our pastor should have been more vocal in their support of President Trump and the conservative cause during the election. I'm not even going to touch that. Black lives matter. Black lives don't matter. And the list just keeps going on. Now, those weren't specific to Crosspoint. I want you to know that. But there were a few that we've heard. No doubt, post-COVID, we will look back and see a case that could have been made for responding better or actually crafting a more clear, laid-out plan than what we necessarily have. But what you need to know and be aware of is that not only has this been difficult for the family of God, his church, but also for the leaders of his church. I'm speaking to myself, my team, and many other pastors that I'm in communication with. I'm in no way complaining because I'm healthy, my family's healthy, we're doing okay. But it does beg to ask the question, even for my own life, where's my family? Where's my family? You see, none of us are exempt, and this is kind of a sidebar note, but none of us, be it pastor, be it congregant, be in the market, but no matter who you are, none of us are exempt from feeling lonely or feeling that we're not cared for. This message isn't about any of us, you know, pointing the finger at someone and saying this. This message is, in just a moment I'll clarify, but this message is more about where's my family as defined by what the scripture says is family and my responsibility to creating a safe haven for people, creating space for us to lock arms and become more like Jesus. This morning we were singing about holy, holy, holy. We were singing about it, and yet my heart, I'm going, God, forgive me. I'm weeping because I'm thinking, God, I'm so not holy. But yet I'm holy because of him. I'm holy because of what Jesus did for me. Hang on. I know you're probably thinking, my goodness, pastor's kind of going off on me right now. I'm not going off on anyone. I promise you, I believe that God wants us to understand something today. And I'll tell you this, I'm going to just say it with as much clarity as I can. I think not this church, but I think churches across the nation need to grow in their capacity to preach Jesus, to preach Holy Spirit power, to preach the conviction of Holy Spirit, to say that his ways are higher than our ways, and to not simply teach messages that make people feel good, but cause people to know Jesus more, and to not just go, I hope my message made sense, but I hope that something in the preaching of God's word will cause someone to make application of the scripture of God's word and be better for it. You see, today's message has more to do with a reminder of who my family is and where we find the family of God. And if need be, making course correction and do what needs to be done, be who we need to be and respond to the ways that we need to respond as Christ's followers. There's no perfect expression of the family to be found on planet Earth, nowhere. Only people comprised of various levels of brokenness, hurts, disappointments, fears. We're all striving to do what is right and what God wants us to do. But there's no perfect expression of that to be found anywhere. You know, Jesus' family wasn't perfect. And sometimes I think we think we're supposed to be perfect. But we're talking about, where's my family? Where's my family at? Who is my family? Listen to this. Jesus' family wasn't perfect. He, like us, was raised in a home that carried its share of challenges, expectations, and distractions. You gotta believe that Mary and Joseph had their fair share of discussions around the premarital pregnancy issue. You gotta believe that. We think about the Jesus story and it being this archaic story, and that guarantee you they had the same kind of conversation we would have today about what? Give me that one more time, Mary. You said you're what? You are pregnant? Are you kidding me? There's no ring on your finger. Who you been with? Telling you. You know, I mean, we obviously know that Joseph wasn't the biological father of Jesus. If I could do a Scooby-Doo voice, I would go, uh-oh. Mary was a virgin, and at that, she was a young teenager when she got pregnant and conceived a child. I'm sure there were more rumors around that being told than just about anything. You've got to imagine in that little community that people were talking about this little girl who's now pregnant, and they're saying Joseph wasn't the father. You sure? Sure, Joseph. Mary. You sure you've never been with another man? How could this be supernatural? You got pregnant. It's not. Hey, Joseph. If it wasn't you, who's the dude that stole your lady's virginity? I mean, there was all kinds of struggle going on with this family that you can imagine. Although it's not specifically stated, I can imagine there was definitely, if I know culture, we know people, there were challenges going on. The town that Jesus was born in wasn't significant at all. Bethlehem was rather more a modern day kind of a ghetto-ish community. Forgive the analogy, but you get what I'm saying. They were poor people. You would have thought that Jesus might have been born in a popular, hip-hop, kind of cool city called Jerusalem. Not the case. He was born to poor parents that couldn't even afford a typical offering like a dove, a turtle dove, a lamb, or a pigeon. It's poor. See, I don't really see Jesus asking, where's my family, as a reaction to his poverty as he got a little bit older. He was not born in a barn, like somebody said the other day. Lacey. It was a joke, she said it, but in the moment. But it was not born in a barn. Matter of fact, it's probable it wasn't even a traditional stable as we portrayed. Most likely, it was in a lower room of a relative's home where the animals were brought in for the night, a place where a manger or a feeding trough was found, and that was accessible to Mary to use for baby Jesus, for Joshua. What tales must have been told about Joshua, Jesus, with his young peers as he got a little bit older. His peers learning of where he'd been born and what he was born in, if you will, could have mocked him and said, Joshua, he was born in a cow's feeding trough. No way this dude could be the Son of God. How easy in the natural it could have been for Jesus to have questioned his family and circumstances. Why is my family poor? Why did I have to be born in an animal trough? Couldn't I have been born in a cool city like San Diego and not Bethlehem? Why don't I have any friends? No one ever checks on me. I'm lonely too. And the list goes on. Wah, wah, wah. But that's not what Jesus did. You see, we sometimes complain or whine about where my family is and don't have what we don't have or what things our spiritual family is not doing and what our natural family is arguing about, what we believe should be happening that's not happening. But here's the beauty of all that's right in the world today. I want to take you to Galatians chapter 4 because I believe this is where we need as Christ followers, natural and spiritual family to land the plane. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Some translations will say, Daddy God. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Today's message is about recognizing where our family truly is, who our father is. We've been grafted into the family called Christianity. That means we have a spiritual father named God who chose to adopt us into his forever family. How we see ourselves as sons and daughters of that family gives perspective on how we're to live as family. We even have rights as mature children that we haven't even earned yet as Christ followers. That can mean that although we are mature in God's family, we sometimes mess up and act immature, adolescent, like adolescent children while living on this planet. Our earthly and fleshly responses to family issues don't always reflect the position that we hold as sons and daughters of the Most High. The beauty of grace is that we receive what we haven't earned or deserve. The adoption story. Let me back up. I believe that this is not, let me say it this way. I believe that this is not the time for family, spiritual or natural, to live in judgment, offense, hostility towards those in your blood or spiritual family. But now is the time to press into your family, pushing aside fleshly pains, hurts, reactions, to trust in your graftedness as a child in God's family. Forgive who needs to be forgiven. Trust in what you know is true and give grace where grace needs to be on display. The adoption story requires an acceptance of our natural and spiritual family without judgment or chastisement. We are on display right now for the world to see, and what needs to be demonstrated is the core values of the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy as found in the Holy Spirit. Are those virtues being espoused right now? Are we living more righteous than we were 9 months ago? Are we walking in greater peace that the one that Pastor Craig spoke about last week? Do people need your joy as found in inner contentment that only Jesus can bring? You see, your family is found in the adoption clause of Galatians 4. Give what you want given. Live with intentional great grace right now for others around you. Try not to judge, because ultimately we're going to be judged. Stay true and trust your loyalties to your family and your friends. Blood family is priority, and spiritual family is your birthright. Wrapping this up this morning, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Here's the good news of that passage. Friends will come and go in your life, but family sticks with you during the hardest of times. We cannot let differences of opinion separate us as family. And I'm not suggesting that we're not responsible in dealing with conflict and offense. That's not what I'm speaking to today. I'm speaking that oftentimes we tend to major on the minors, and those minor things, the little foxes that spoil the vine, keep us from walking the way that God's called us to walk as family. It's happened to me, it's happened to you, it's happened to all of us. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. After all, those who don't love their brothers or sisters whom they have seen can hardly love God whom they have not seen. 1 John 4:20. You know what the good news of that passage is? We cannot say you truly love the Lord unless you show it in your actions, my actions, your actions, which includes loving those who vehemently oppose you in your political beliefs, in how you see COVID. We have got such, doesn't matter necessarily whether COVID is what they say it is. It's here. We have to deal with it. Do not let it divide you as family. Lastly, we're challenged during this Christmas season to keep perspective and choose to not hate. So much unrest and angst towards BLM, a political party, or a candidate. Friends who've turned on you because of a position you took politically. Families who have separated themselves from you because you don't wear a mask or haven't taken the COVID seriously or choose not to get the vaccine. The list can go on forever, but be reminded this morning that Scripture once again teaches us that we must love others because God first loved us. Where's your family? We cannot hate or strongly dislike others and call ourselves Christ followers. Our actions must reflect our beliefs. 1 John 4:19. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are only one body in Christ. Be it blood or spiritual family, we're grafted into one family. And individually, we belong to one another. Romans 12:5. The good news of that passage is though we're made of individuals, a family is one unit. Doesn't matter what church you may or may not belong to. As a Christ follower, you belong to the forever family called the church, the ecclesia. And whether you like it or not, we are all one in Jesus. So where's your family? Stop and take a good look in the mirror, because you're looking at your family. What you see looking in that mirror is reflecting back on you. How we view family is how you are looking at yourself in the mirror. If you understand what I'm talking about this morning, you will find that you are family and that you will live according to what you understand you are and who you are and who you belong to. We cannot blame other people any longer. We've got to take responsibility for who we are, what we represent, and how we walk out our life. In James, it says, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he's like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. Once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does. In other words, in his life of obedience. Crosspoint family, I believe this. I believe that it's time for us to show the world who our family truly is. Be it blood, be it spiritual, I pray that you would grasp the reality that we are all one in Jesus, and we need to live according to that truth. God bless you, family. Merry Christmas. Hope to see you really soon. God bless.